It's the R&B Show, the podcast dedicated to prep sports in the USA Today Network, Wisconsin area, and beyond. Featuring Ricardo Arguello.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine. It's really a miracle of evolution.
And Brett Christofferson.
What's the matter with you guys? What's the matter with you?
I'll make it.
Produced by Jim Rosendick.
The warrior of the wasteland, the Ayatollah of rock and roller.
And now, the best dang prep sports duo in Wisconsin, here's Ricardo and Brett.
Welcome back to the R&B Show podcast, the only podcast dedicated to high school sports in the Fox Valley area. I'm Ricardo Arguello, hanging out as always with Brett Christofferson and Jim Rosendick. We're all part of the USA Today Network, Wisconsin digital live stream team. And hey, we have a good show here because we have some topics that we want to get to, wrapping up the girls basketball state tournament, looking ahead to the boys state tournament, which is this week. And also a look back quickly on wrestling, specifically Kakana and Grayson Clark. I'll touch on that a little bit. And maybe we just had spring ahead? Isn't that the daylight savings time? We'll look ahead maybe a little bit to spring, because I don't know if you two realize this, but the track championships in lacrosse are only 10 weeks away or so. So
hopefully the snow's gone by then.
Yes, that's what we're hoping. And then hopefully Brett will have maybe an update, maybe not, on the award show that's supposed to take place in May. And we'll wrap it up because we have to. We have to, Brett, talk about the Aaron Rodgers saga. Stuff might be getting resolved today. We're recording this on a Tuesday. It might actually get resolved later today or possibly early tomorrow morning. But let's just start with that, Brett, if you guys don't mind. Let's start with the girls' state hoop wrap. We had a great girls' basketball season this year in terms of collectively with all the great teams that we had. It was a little disappointing to see that none of our area teams, and I'm talking about the Appleton area teams, were able to bring home a state championship. Congratulations to Notre Dame.
Yes.
They did complete the three-peat, and they will be our guests on the roundtable tonight, or Wednesday night, I should say. They're going to bring all three trophies. I told them to bring all three trophies.
I was going to ask you to do that.
Yeah, and Coach Sarah Rohde, always a pleasure to work with, and she's been so accommodating with us. I did say bring the three trophies, so they're going to try to do that.
Great.
And congratulations to them, and then also to Laconia down there in Rosendale, the speed trap down there just, southwest of Fond du Lac. Or southwest of Oshkosh, so they're the D4 state champs. I thought that was a little bit of a surprise, them beating Aquinas. We'll talk about that a little bit. But congratulations to those two, Brett. I guess I say disappointing because I thought maybe we'd have a few more teams there. I know you and I and Rosie were maybe thinking maybe Freedom and D3 was going to pop through. Kewaskum actually ended up winning the state title over Milwaukee Academy of Science. That was a little bit of a surprise there, but... were you as shocked also to not see any post-Crescent area teams there?
Freedom, for sure. I thought that was a foregone conclusion, but that kind of goes with what we said when we were streaming Saturday's Nina Superior game, kind of talking about DePere on the boys' side, and almost seems like hand them the gold ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're high school kids.
Yeah.
These aren't professional athletes. They're not even major college athletes. They're high school kids, and even if a team is rolling, doesn't mean that anybody can be beaten, even if you're 28-0 like a DePere boys going into the state tournament. You can fall, right? So I guess that's just another example when you look at the Freedom girls and how great they were and how talented they are, and anything can happen on any given day. It's just another reminder that that's just why they play the game.
Yeah, and it was a close game. They lost to Kewaskum. I think it was by just a couple points, too. So
losing to the future eventual state champs, I guess, is not the worst thing, right?
Yeah, is that a silver lining?
Not for Freedom.
Because I think they had thought that this was a team that was going to bring home the state title. And actually, to be quite honest, they gave Kewaskum their best game out of the last three.
Two-point loss, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a two-point loss. And Kewaskum was able to go to the state tournament and really kind of take care of business there. But, yeah, I mean, I also thought St. Mary Catholic in D4 might have popped through. I know they fell, too, in the sectional round.
Another close one in Michigan.
Yes, in Michigan. That was a close one, and it was a bit of a controversial ending. I don't know if you remember, there was like some kind of throw-in, possibly a foul was going to be called, but the officials waved it off, and Michigan held on for that one-point win. I feel bad because Coach Jeff Chu is a great guy. You know, we love Jeff Chu here on the show, and also a varsity roundtable. They appeared earlier this season. I thought maybe with the Vogel and Norville and the girls that they had, that was going to be the team to kind of bring home a state title. But St. Mary Catholic isn't you know, they're not completely barren because they have their boys team in the boys state tournament. We'll just talk about that shortly. But overall, Notre Dame, Laconia bringing home titles for the G10. We just kind of hope that maybe it would have been another championship or two, because we forget to talk about Hortonville. Hortonville beating Nina. Brett live streamed that game.
Me and Rosie were there.
Yes. Yep. And
standing room only.
Standing room only, and we're you know, the way they played, I thought, wow, this is a team that's peaking, you know, and but they ran into a tough Kettle Moraine team, which actually ended up winning the state title, back to back state championships for the Lasers. Boy, that's a great team over there, but they're losing their two best players heading into next year. And I know that's something that's been talked about. Well, what do you think about next season? Because, you know, Nina, Hortonville, and Kaukauna, really, if you look at those three teams, they're going to be three, in my opinion, three top five, top 10 teams right there. But that doesn't take the sting away from Hortonville, Brett, because that was a nice run that they had. Were you shocked that they beat Nina in that sectional final, though?
I'm not shocked, no, because...
Surprised.
I guess I maybe thought Nina was gonna pull that one out. It felt like they were on the cusp last year, and maybe they'd take that step. But Rainey Wilson had other ideas that night. 41 points. I mean, she was sensational.
I love watching Rainey Wilson play. She's just got, like, at the tournament, she, you know, she was struggling a little bit early on against Kettle Moraine and their outstanding defender Braylon Torres. But she kind of, I don't want to say she flipped the switch, but she got. I saw that in her eye. She just kind of wanted to take over. She just started draining some of those threes from way out there, Brett. But she did that against Nina, too. She had some big-time threes. Couldn't miss.
Red hot. I mean, and great from the free throw line, too. You know how I love free throw shooting, right? Those are free points you're getting. I'm sure these players practice, but practice harder. You know, some of these folks that you watch, I mean, you're getting to the free throw line 15 feet, unguarded, stationary. Knock them down, right? You should be able to go 80%. And I don't think that's a big ask, but Rainey Wilson did a bit better than that. But I was just thinking how lucky we are. You got one of the top sophomore players in the state, without a doubt. Nina's side, you got one of the top, probably the top junior in the state. Now you move forward a year. Now you're going to have Zabel as a senior, Ali Zabel. Rainey's a junior. How lucky are we?
Yeah,
I mean, we're going to see. You got to think Rainey Wilson's going to get some serious college offers this summer. So you're going to have two. Allie's one of the best players in the country, right? She's going to UConn. And I would be curious to see where Rainey, after the summer circuit, where she might rank it as far as nationally, because I think she's pretty darn good.
Yeah, and she has the height, what you're looking for from a college coach, and the determination and the physicality. I really liked – she really won me over. Not that I needed to get won over about Rainey Wilson. I think she's a great player. But then to see her and just the way she plays the game, is it's exciting to watch.
Yeah.
You know, she can take over at a one-woman – no disrespect to Hornball. You can see her kind of take over things. Yeah. That's really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, and being able to watch these two great players battle again next season in Hortonville and Nina. That, and you're right, Kaukauna is going to be heard from as well with all their athletes. So they, all three of those teams, very well could be top five going in preseason. Probably should be top five preseason. Oh, Kaukauna slipped after Zarnicki went down and really kind of took the win out of their sail. But, you know, they're going to be fine because of who they've got in that program and who's leading that program. And that's going to be a three-team race. That's going to be a heck of a lot of fun to watch. I know Verona's going to be probably pretty good. We got a tweet, right, asking like the way
Kettle,
too early.
Kettle Moraine. They lose their top two players, but those girls are all young around them.
Yeah.
They were all underclassmen.
So they'll probably be up there. And there was one, actually, Sam England, the athletic director at Hortonville, he kind of came out with his list, and I agreed with it. You know, I was like, yeah, that all makes sense with Nina, Hortonville, Kaukauna being right at the top. And we just got done. Our streaming season's over, but I'm excited for that girls' race just to watch some of these top players. I mean, again, we're so fortunate, so lucky. Ali Zabel, 5 points away from 2,000. Yeah. Thought we might be able to see that on that sectional championship game, that maybe she would surpass that. So she's going to end up, if she's trending and projecting and you're taking her averages, she'll be one of the top five scorers in state history when all is said and done, the way this is going.
Yeah, you know, and I was thinking about this, Rosie. We're going to have a hard time putting together a Fab Five next year because, remember, we go up to Green Bay and down to the Fond du Lac area, and that includes the Kale Peterson girl from
is she coming back again?
Yeah, she was just a junior.
She seemed like she's been there a while.
Yeah, and not just her. They're really good point guard, Greasy Gopalan. She is really good, and she's back. So they're probably going to be one of the leaders in D3. We have Notre Dame, Trista Feta, yeah.
Gracie Gresh.
So those two.
And you can only pick one per team,
I can only
right?
pick one per team. I'm going to be, you know, I'll talk with, hopefully I'll talk with Sarah about this, Coach Rohde, because I can only take one per team. Because then we have Ali Zabel. We have Kinas. From Kokona.
Is she going to be a...
Yeah, she's a senior, isn't she? She was a junior this year, I believe.
Yeah, maybe so. For some reason, I was thinking she was... Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
yeah. I know I'm forgetting somebody else, but yeah, I don't know. One of the St. Mary Catholic girls was a junior too, but I have a lot of options to go with. It's going
to
be tough.
It's kind of a good problem to have. You'd rather have it this way than just trying to, like, geez, who am I going to put on here? You know, but that's the way it is around here.
Well, we have great poops, and I can't wait for
great
that.
Great athletes,
so.
Period.
Yeah, exactly. So... That was the wrap-up from the girls' state championship. So again, congratulations to Notre Dame and Laconia.
But to go back, I wasn't surprised Hortonville won, because that's a great team.
Well, I just felt just player. Because... Oh, I know that.
I thought maybe with Callie Pepler being out, but A.C. Clothier...
Oh, that's another... There's another player on the Fab Five, Callie
Pepler.
That
might be tough, though, because she'll be kind of bouncing back from that ACL.
Ah,
you know?
But she's a UWM recruit. You know, UWM's my school.
But I just thought A.C. Clothier, the head coach, did a really nice job of navigating his team through that tough injury, you know, and it's too bad because you would have liked to have seen Hortonville go full strength, excuse me, against Kettle Moraine. However, you can say the same thing about what Andy Brownell did at Nina. You know, he lost Shelby Roth before the season, right? Mm-hmm. Was that a knee injury?
Yeah, and then Amaya Jones.
Amaya Jones went out with a knee injury, and those are two key players for that squad, and he leads them to 26 wins, a school record, so... Those two teams are going to duke it out again. I think Hortonville wins this series 2-1 this season. They split in the regular season and won the sectional championship. I don't know how it's all going to be set up next year, but it wouldn't surprise me if you see those two teams again battling in a sectional championship, assuming that that's how the pairings end up and that's how they're in the same grouping.
Yeah, so we had five G10 teams at the girls. What, five G10 teams at the boys, Brett? State tournament that kicks off on Thursday. Real quick, Division One, we have DePere and Nina. We'll get to these teams in a little bit. Division Two, we don't have anybody. Division Three, we have Brilliant. By the way, great sectional win over Xavier for them. So congratulations to the Lions making it back again. Division Four, St. Mary Catholic.
The Zephs.
Yeah, and then Newman Catholic in D5. Yeah. So we have a central group school there. But
almost got Gibraltar back for back-to-back.
Right, exactly.
That little school up in Fish Creek. I know they're big time for their Vikings.
They love their hoops up there in Door County. But let's talk. We got to talk about the elephant in the room, which is obviously DePere.
Yeah.
Undefeated, 28-0. Nina able. We live streamed the game this past Saturday. Their big win over Superior. I thought they looked fantastic, Brett. But let's start with Nina, then we'll follow up with DePere. No, look, I have not seen Nina in a few weeks. So, and we know we saw them struggle against was it Wisconsin Lutheran earlier, and then they might have
Wisconsin Lutheran knocked them out pretty good.
Yeah, and then didn't they lose to Oshkosh North? That was a game that we.
I thought they beat Oshkosh North. That night.
My point is that I saw Nina. I'm like, well, these guys are struggling a little bit. They might have lost to Oshkosh North the second.
Yeah, I think Sam Coulthard had like 27 points against Oshkosh North. Had a big night from three.
Well, I just didn't see Nina making this run, and my apologies to Nina, no disrespect to you guys. It's just, you know, they lost quite a bit. You know, they have the size thing that they're kind of missing a little bit, the size element. But to see them play their kind of game against Superior, and that was a pretty good Superior team. They had some bigs there, the young bigs, but they really just ran them out of the gym. It was really entertaining to watch.
It was impressive, and you know, you weren't at Thursday's game that we went to Stevens Point. Rosie and I did to the Nina Hudson game, and I thought Nina started out a little slow, but then Brady Corso was kind of that spark plug, and he was knocking down some threes then, like he did on Saturday as well. And then once that happened, all of a sudden everybody's kind of getting going. You were seeing Cal Klesmet was being a facilitator. Like he was against Superior on Saturday, where he ended up with 21 assists. We shortchanged him on the stream.
Yeah,
we were not keeping track of that.
I couldn't keep. I knew it was more than 12.
I think I said, like, oh, yeah, we almost had 12, 14 assists, and then come to find out it was 21.
Yeah.
We were talking to the Klesmets after the game. You were gone already, me and Rosie. They came up and just thanked us. Max was there, too, the Badger now.
Oh, I didn't even see him there.
Yeah, okay. Talked with him a little bit, and... And we're kind of joking because Torque Mason, our photojournalist, was there shooting the game. I was given Cal some grief, saying that our Torque was getting a little upset because he couldn't tell, because a lot of those were no-look passes.
Yeah.
He's trying to kind of follow Cal's face, and instead the ball's going the opposite way, and they're all kind of getting a chuckle about that. But it was kind of fun to chat with them, and appreciate all the nice comments we heard from the Neenah folks, too, saying thank you for making the trips, especially Thursday was a little sloppy. Coming home was not a fun trip home, but we made it safe and sound. Beat the snow on Saturday.
Yeah, that was nice.
But as far as Neenah, you know, what would impress me with Superior had beaten two FEA teams in a row, Oshkosh West and Appleton North, to get to that spot. And say what you want, the FEA, as we've said in some streams, maybe not the juggernaut conference that we're used to seeing, but still pretty darn good.
Pretty depth-wise and good.
Deep, yeah. I mean, you got Appleton North with some of those young players. Chris Kell's doing a nice job of getting them some minutes, kind of maybe getting their bumps and bruises here and there, but they're going to be, I think, a team on the rise, a team that can shoot a little bit. Oshkosh West, going and beating Eau Claire Memorial, 16, taking down a 1. Kind of the strength of the FEA always comes into play, and it's not really a surprise when you see the FEA doing so well, even the middle conference finishers kind of making a run. So for Superior to beat FEA schools back-to-back, as I said to you on the stream, I'm sure that got Neenah's attention. And I'm sure they're quite focused, saying, let's not mess around here, because all of a sudden we're going to find ourselves in a battle. And as we saw with Superior, they had some nice talent.
Yeah,
young.
Yeah.
Now, they're up in the Lake Superior Conference.
The Moon Conference.
They're going to, they're certainly not going to play in a league as rugged as the FEA, but they're going to be heard from, I think, again, coming this next season. Remember last season, they came to Appleton East and almost beat them in a regional final.
Yeah, well, their best player is a junior.
Yeah, and a couple of freshmen were playing, like Calvin Anderson or
Sanagar was there.
Yeah, Trayshawn Sanagar.
Yeah, Sanagar, that's
looked
yeah.
really nice, athletic. So I think, they got some things going, but was 50-19 Neenah at the half.
Right.
And they were all hidden. And I think, like you said, now you're seeing them peaking at the right time under Coach Lee Robus. No surprise. He's a fantastic coach. He's got a great staff. And Cal Klesmit doesn't have to be the scorer. Corso can knock him down. We've seen Schloman get hot.
How about the young kid, the sophomore Young?
Matt Young coming in.
Luke Young.
Luke Young, I'm sorry, coming from the JV ranks, where he came in about a third of the way through the season. Brings a big, strong presence, body. Good rebounder, good finisher. I said Schloman. I said, Coulthard, Sam Coulthard, yeah. Elliot Swanson. So all these guys are kind of starting to figure out their roles, get hot, find a rhythm. And now you just can't key in on Klesmit. You can't key in on Corso. You got other guys because of certainly their ability to pass. And they share the ball so well.
And that's going to be their biggest. They're going to have to play that kind of game, and because they're going to be outsized when you get down the D1 term. Before we talk about DePere, though, Brett, I wanted you to mention also the great live streaming season that we had. You had, I'm sorry, I threw this at you last second. You had some numbers that you talked about. I think it was on Twitter, but both you and Rosie did a great job of getting those things set up. Rosie, kind of with the technical snafus that kind of happened, not because of you, but because of the machine failing you, doing a good job of keeping things running and humming along. But those are some pretty impressive numbers, but we had a very successful live stream season.
Yeah, over 10,000 views on that Rockets Superior game, which is great. You know, we stream it through different platforms too. You can go to like postcrescent.com and watch it. Our Facebook pages, whether it's Green Bay, Appleton, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, we put it on there, and our USA Today Network Wisconsin YouTube channel. So three different ways to watch, which I think is key, because sometimes, let's say, Facebook goes down, or YouTube goes down. You know, you got different ways to watch the game, not just on one platform. But yeah, so we ended up with like 96,000 views for basketball, so close to nearly 100,000 views, and I think we probably would have gotten it had we not had that unfortunate meltdown of our power supply unit during the Little Chute Fox Valley Lutheran game. I think we're going to have really big numbers that night. That's what happened, if anybody was wondering there. Our power supply unit went out, and unfortunately, you don't know when those are going to go out unless you are actually using the machine.
Yeah.
And it just said, that's it, I'm done working. So thankfully, Rosie was able to take it in and get a new one put in. But we have a backup machine, and it worked like a charm for our four playoff games. But that's not a fun feeling when you got this massive game for the conference championship, and you know you have big numbers, and it just all of a sudden the machine goes black.
Yeah,
especially with the energy that was in the gym that night.
Yeah, and you're trying to restart it, and you're kind of getting it restarted, and it kept knocking out, kept shutting down, so whatever. But nearly 100,000 views for the hoop season, and then for our complete Game of the Week live stream season, which includes football and boys and girls basketball, nearly 260,000 views. That's 34 games we streamed. And again, we're probably shortchanged because we had a couple hiccups. We had another one where the internet went out at Nina that cost us kind of a half of that Nina Hortonville girls game too, which would have been, I think, some big numbers too. So incredible, though. 260,000 views to watch our games and the games that we select. So got to thank our playoff sponsor, Unison Credit Union, for both football and boys and girls basketball, and then our season-long sponsors, Salcom and Cooney's Embroidery and Sportswear. Just appreciate their support and appreciate everybody out there watching. And again, got some nice comments because we know that grandpas and grandmas and alum and just statewide people, especially when you get to the sectionals, if you're living in La Crosse and you're like, well, I want to see how that Nina game's going because we might have to end up playing them at state. Or so, you know how it goes, and you log in and just kind of watch the score and or watch the game. So, it's just I thought we had a really good season, very good season. Yeah, that might have been a record.
I ran into Stacy Gassner. At the girls, he's the owner of Cooney's.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so that was fun talking to him. He loved what we do, and he was very excited and happy.
Good.
You know, with our live streams and everything like that. I think we talked a little bit about what happened. You know, he's a Hortonville alum, so what happened with Hortonville and the fire alarm that happened on our roundtable last week, which was very funny. Very funny situation, everything, but hopefully we were able to cobble together a show, I should say, more appropriately. But, congratulations to you guys, though. You guys did a great job doing it. Brett and Rosie, they're on the technical end of the stuff, and Brett allowed the logistics stuff in terms of getting stuff set up, so they did a great job. We're looking forward to another one that's coming up again that's not too far away. Just put that in, I guess, put that little worm in your head. What, the football season is 5 months away?
Mid-August, yeah.
Yeah. So it's right there, but you already have a couple of the games squared away.
I do, and I'm going to have to probably get going on that here fairly soon.
Yeah,
but let's go
back to basketball if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to get your thoughts. See, I have not seen DePere, and I know I've seen some live streams. Don't get me wrong. I guess I haven't seen them in person. Are they as good? They're 28-0. Are they as good as that Nina team that won the title last year?
Oh yeah,
they are. Okay.
That'd be a great matchup, though.
Yeah, right.
That'd be like Chevalier Emery Jr. going against Johnny Kinziger and Piter going against Hordeseth. That'd be some prayer. And Eli Schmidt's got some size too. I think DePere's just as good, though. This is my take on DePere. Now we saw them against Kimberly back in December, right before Christmas. So we streamed that game. I don't think you were there. It was me and you, Rosie, weren't we? Yep. But that was kind of a close game at half. And then DePere just chewed him apart in the second half. And so much skill with the guards, right? They have Kinziger and Zach Kinziger, Johnny's brother. Hogan Domofsky's very good. Mm-hmm. He brings some great energy. Can knock down some threes. Of course, Big Will Hornseth. Gabe Herman was not playing that night, but now he's back.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback, right, for the Redbirds now. He brings, obviously, leadership and a lot of talent. So skilled offensively. And you talk about a team like Nina right now, I think the way they're passing the ball, like they're going against that weird, I guess it was a triangle and two, but then Superior was mixing up different zones, but that ball never stayed in one spot. It just kept moving. That's what DePere can do. Plus, they can break you down off the dribble and either attack the rim or kick out for open shooters. They got the defense is always in scramble mode, but as good as they are offensively, I was stunned at how good they were defensively.
Okay.
They get in your face, in your shorts, and you can barely breathe, I think, if you're an opponent. They play defense like defense is supposed to be played, which is very impressive because a lot of times you'll see teams, we're really good offensively. Yeah, we'll play some defense, but offense is what we're good at, But, man, they almost look like they enjoyed playing defense even more than how good they are offensively. And I know Coach Winchester, I think, takes great pride in how they play defense. So when you got both of those going, good luck.
Yeah.
That's why they're 28-0 and why they're crushing teams right now.
I'm excited to watch them because I will be covering the Nina part. Now, they play Friday. I think DePere plays at 6:35 at the Kohl Center on Friday night. And the Nina game follows that about 15, 20 minutes after the Clemson show. So I'll be able to see them for the first time. I'm very excited to see them. Mike Sherry's actually covering them that Friday night. So, yeah, and no surprise here. I think I'm picking Nina in the upset over Homestead because I'm a homer. And I'm actually thinking it'd appear Nina final. Now, obviously Nina's going to be outgunned. Don't get me wrong. I'm picking DePeer to beat Nina in the championship game. I'm not that much of a homer, although DePeer is one of my local teams, I guess, if you look at it in that way.
But, group team.
It's just, like I was telling you, but it's too bad this wasn't a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, that Nina team. Boy, that would be one championship for the ages, wouldn't it be?
It would be, but that'd be fun for us because then you have an all-Northeast Wisconsin, all-Fox Valley Division I state championship game, which underscores what we've been saying for years and years and years, how much talent is in the Northeast Wisconsin Fox Valley region. It doesn't take a backseat to anybody when it comes to high school sports, regardless of the sport.
Now, we didn't have a Division II. We came close. New London lost, by 4 points.
Bulldogs, boy, they made a run, didn't they?
Nice run by them. They really got some great young players there. I know Wisniewski had a big game in the semifinal, so congratulations to them. They lost to a team that's pretty... It's a pretty good program, I think, Lacrosse Central.
Only lost by like four.
Yeah. So it was a close game. But in Division III, our old friends, the Brilliant Lions. Back. I have them winning the state title over West Salem. I love this Brilliant team. I think they beat a tremendous Xavier team in that sectional final. You know, all three of us thought the world of Xavier. They have just a great team. They can score a lot of points, and I think they pulled that one out 77-73, something like that.
Xavier made a late run because I think Brilliant sounded like they had double-digit lead.
Okay.
And sounded like they were in command, and then the Hawks doing what the Hawks do, kind of that urgency dial goes to overdrive, right? And they kind of clawed their way back. But Alex Sherwood, what a career he had. Well, he's one of the leading scorers in program history, right? And all these guys that can just knock down threes and that style that they play. It'll be interesting to see how they do next year, kind of losing some key players. But, boy, Brilliant. That's a beast. You know, Jeremy Lorenz, the Wofford recruit. What is he, 6'8" or something? I mean, and then they got guys that can shoot, too, and back-to-back trips to Madison for Coach Schmidt.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be a great tournament, not just because of our G10 teams that are there. I have Brilliant winning the state title in D3. I think D2, and we're not going to talk too much about them because no G10 teams, but Pewaukee – beat Wisconsin Lutheran. We thought the world of Wisconsin Lutheran. Obviously, Pewaukee's the defending state champ, all that kind of stuff. So I'm not surprising anyone by picking them to win the D2 title, Brett. But that's also a good division to watch. And then in D4, we look at St. Mary Catholic. They love to fill up the scoreboard as well. They're a fun team to watch. They're the number one seed also in D4, Brett. I haven't seen St. Mary Catholic, but I'm also excited to see them as well.
Me too. The Zephyrs, it was the first time. What was the last time they were? 09? Around range, boys' side. And great for the school and great for Coach Bradshaw. Boy, he's doing some great work over there, you know. And then
Griffith and Uhlenbrock. Yeah. Griffith and especially, I mean, you're talking about a multi-sport athlete, the quarterback of the football team. They had a nice season, too, playing eight-man. And then Uhlenbrock, I mean, that's just, to me, I think they have a pretty complete team that can throw a lot of different things on offense at a defense.
Yeah, and you think about it, they're Division IV, but look at the region that they're in, the Fox Valley. So these players, even though they're in a Division IV school, they're in a metro area,
yeah,
they're playing some of these other guys from these other divisions and around here.
The Big East is a good conference.
It's a good league, too. So it's not like your rural small school, small town school. This is a squad where players have played some big-time talent, whether it's through the summer leagues or AAU or just even around here with all the talent that's here in the Fox Valley. So I think the Zephs are going to win it all.
Yes.
I mean, I think the Zephs are going to win it all. I agree with you with Brilliant. Got to go with DePeer. I mean, a lot of people thought, you know, Pewaukee, I'll go with it to win it in Division II. A lot of people thought Pewaukee was the best team.
Yes.
DePeer beat them.
Yes, they did beat them.
DePeer and Pewaukee was healthy. The Janowski was back.
This is not the situation like in girls basketball where you could say Notre Dame is probably the best team regardless of division. This one is for sure. In my opinion, DePeer is the best team out of all the divisions. And but yeah, it's, you know, sometimes I wish that it could be like the former Indiana setup where everyone plays each other.
Yeah,
they don't do that anymore though, do they? Indiana, do they have divisions now? Don't they? Or do they still do that old school?
Was it somebody was talking about it, like maybe Kentucky still has the single class? There's too many divisions in Wisconsin.
Way too many.
Minnesota like have four divisions? Yes. And you're talking like a major metro area with the Twin Cities.
Illinois has fewer divisions than Wisconsin. On.
Wisconsin shouldn't have five divisions. Yes. It should go back to four. Heck, I would even say go back to three like it used to be.
Well, and not just that. I think that's also the same thing for football.
Seven divisions is too much.
Maybe even softball. I mean, in baseball. I mean, I think, yeah, that's just too many divisions. But, hey, the coaches vote on that.
That's true. That's true.
They want what their parent, what the parents and the athletes want. So there you go. But wrapping up. Newman Catholic Division 5. Now, look, I know nothing about Newman Catholic. I'm not even going to attempt to think to
good,
say that I know.
Good program.
It is a good program, though. Yes. So
I think it'll be them against the Max.
I think I have a McDonald winning that one. So I'm not that much of a homer, Brett.
Yeah, I know a little bit of Max. They've got a good program too, and yeah, they've been McDonald's, down a state. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think the Max could pull that one off. But how about the seating? Nobody's squawking too much about the
people were squawking about that in the girls. I don't know so much about the boys. I don't have a problem with, you know, when I talked to Rubbis afterwards, he goes, you know, we're kind of probably looking at a four seed. He goes, we think we can get the three seed. Mm-hmm. And they did. They ended up getting the three seed. I think the strength of that schedule that they had has to play a factor.
Yeah, because they're not only in the FBA, but they load up their non-conference schedule too. So I'm sure that I thought they had a pretty good shot at a three. At least talking to one of our contacts at Nina, he was thinking DePere 1, Arrowhead 2, and then it was between them and Kettle Moraine getting that 3-4. And I think that filled out exactly how it should be. The joke was, how did the Notre Dame girls get a two seed with their non-conference schedule?
Yeah, I know, and they
beat two of the four Division I teams that were at state.
And I think that they and they're the defending state champs, two-time defending state champs. I mean,
are you kidding me?
That should with returning most of their players.
Yeah.
That should account for more than that. So the computer can only do what it's fed, right? It can only do what it's programmed. So if you don't include those variables, it's not going to.
So here's a question. Why doesn't the WIA, the coaches, whoever, just release, this is how this is determined? You hear about it in the men's and women's basketball in the college, right? Everybody knows kind of the parameters of what goes into how these tournaments.
That's true. There's got to be more transparency, I agree.
Why isn't there? What's the big deal here? This isn't a matter of, I've said this before, it's not a matter of national security. It's a stupid high school basketball tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not stupid, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
I mean, we're all looking forward to it. But come on, just who cares? Let the coaches know so that they can better fill out their schedule. Okay, is it strength of schedule? Then I'm going to load up more in the non-conference side.
Yeah, it's not like the Pentagon. Like, you're not withholding like government secrecy or top secret knowledge.
It's a basketball tournament.
Yeah.
Come on.
But sometimes, you know, maybe that's something they can tweak. That's something they can tweak in the future, but the coaches are going to have to agree with it, and then they also have to have the WI Board of Control agree to it as well. But definitely something to watch. We'll see what unfolds there in the boys' tournament.
I think the geographic stuff, too, doesn't make sense. Like, why is Superior part of, like, the teams in the FEA? I mean, why isn't Superior, or I guess they kind of are playing like the Eau Claire's, but that's such a big grouping, isn't it, in Division
I? Well, you're looking at the Division I schools, and you look at they almost have to, though.
Well, that probably goes back to then the Division I probably needs to go back to eight teams.
I agree with. Someone was bringing up they need to go to six teams or maybe have, like, say, like DePere and Homestead or Arrowhead would have a bye, you know. But I would like that idea, actually, having two more D1 teams in there.
And you feel bad for Superior because no matter what, they're driving a long way. They have, what, 4 hours to Rapids versus, like, an hour and a half from Nina?
I think it was longer than that. I think it was 4.5 hours to Rapids from where they were.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been easier if it was at DC Everest, but let's just say they would just cut across on 29. But I don't know. It just that's a big geographic region, and it seems like that needs to be refined a little bit more.
Next topic. Let's go real quick. I just want to wrap up on Kakana winning their third state championship wrestling. Congratulations to Coach Maciek and the whole Ghost roster. Very impressive. And also specifically to Grayson Clark for winning his fourth individual state title, becoming one of, I think, only 26 wrestlers to do that in Wisconsin history. Congratulations to Clark and to Kakana. That is a big, big achievement. They beat Marshfield, Brett, in that D1 championship match, and it was kind of close for a while, but the depth and the talent in the Ghost roster just way too much for most teams in Division I to handle. They finish undefeated in dual matches as well. So Coach Maciek's got himself a dynasty, Brett. They have got to be the most underrated dynasty in my opinion. I'm not just speaking hyperbole. It's you know, because when people think of that, they kind of immediately think of football and basketball, but you forget that Kaukauna Wrestling has put together something very, very special over there in Kaukauna.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We were kind of joking when we were at Rapids. You saw the,
yes,
I don't know how many wrestling banners they had on their wall, because Rapids is known for, yes, its wrestling. Rosie would know that, being a Wisconsin Rapids native. But then what you said, well, Kaukauna's challenging,
yes,
that in recent years, and all the wrestling championships that they've been putting on the walls as well. But unbelievable. I mean, it's kind of, you talk about the challenge of building a program, that's one, but now the challenge of maintaining it is a whole other thing, right?
It is. It's harder to stay on top.
Yeah, so credit to him. And it's probably easier to maintain when you love what you do, and you can tell Coach Machek just loves what he does as far as being a wrestling coach and just teaching these kids how to grow up, and you know, while doing that, they're winning some impressive championships as well.
Yeah, they I love that it's at the field house too. The team tournament is at the field house. You can feel all the history there. It's nice that venue is still being used for state events for the WIAA. I wouldn't mind them using it for hockey or something like that, but apparently they want to move over to Middleton, which has gotten mixed reviews, by the way.
Wrestling to Middleton?
No. The hockey team has been moved over to Middleton. I don't think people liked it too much, actually, now, because there's a little bit little cramped quarters for people who wanted to get in, lines outside, that kind of stuff. Hey, Brett, can you give us an update on, or do we have an update at all when it comes to the award show?
Well, kind of like I said on Saturday's stream, right now it's looking like May for the Northeast Wisconsin High School Sports Award Show at the Lambeau Field Atrium. Still working on a date, and still working on who the celebrity speaker will be. You know, but that's going to be coming out pretty soon. We've already released our fall nominees. Now with the winter season just about done, we'll start releasing those winter nominees, and then it's a quick turnaround to the spring and our premier awards and all that good stuff. So we're going to kind of have to get cranking on that.
Yeah.
Our streaming season is done, but that's certainly where my focus will now shift, is to the sports award show, because that is all of a sudden it's going to be mid to late May, and we're going to have to get moving on that here pretty quick. But that's all I can really say for now, other than, you know, just kind of keep an eye on postcrescent.com, or if you're listening in Green Bay, greenbaypressgazette.com, oshkosh.thenorthwestern.com, you know, any of our USA Today Network Wisconsin sites, there'll be more information to come. But as well as the list of nominees, you bet.
Okay, and now I wanted to, before you mentioned about coming up in spring, because we're finishing the winter season, Brett, 10 weeks away or so is the state track meet in La Crosse. That is usually the big one when it comes to the spring sports season. Hard to believe, but like you said, this recent snow dump has me concerned that it's going to be like one of those years where there's going to be some of the snow in the parking ramp is going to be there till July, kind of one of those weirdo kind of things. And This has gotten me depressed, because I love the spring season. It's the shortest one, obviously, of the three seasons for the WIAA, but we ever going to get those kids out there on the softball diamond?
It's going to be a while. I was laughing. I was listening to somebody on the radio, and I was actually listening to the radio, not serious. I was actually listening to a radio. And gotcha. Anybody want to know what that is, just look it up if you're not familiar with what the radio is. But yeah. He's a high school umpire, and he said his first game is supposed to be March 28th.
No, yeah.
Ain't going to happen.
No.
Not when I wake up Sunday morning, I was stunned at how much snow we had out there.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how much snow we had out there.
It's sad.
It was like 9 inches, I think. Yeah. I was not expecting that, especially the day before. We didn't get that much. It didn't stick. My driveway really never got full of anything. I just had to clean a few spots. And then I get a snowblower out on Sunday morning, kind of get things going. I want to say that my driveway looks fantastic, by the way. Fantastic. It is clean. You could lay on that thing and not get a spot of dirt on you. That's how clean it is. But
congratulations to your snowblower.
But you need a snowblower with that wet, heavy snow. But these piles, the drifts, I mean, I'm looking at this thinking, how is this stuff ever going to melt? And now they're talking more snow, accumulating snow on Friday.
Stop. Yeah. You're depressing me even more.
Hey, what do they say? From February to March, we've got like 30-some inches. I mean, now we're like almost 20 inches over our norm for the season.
I thought it was a terrible winter, so those numbers now just
We were having a really good winter. It was actually fairly mild until about early February on, and now especially March, it's not going away. I mean, come on. We got basketball. It's supposed to be spring. You can tell the sun's higher in the sky, staying lighter out later.
Yeah, daylight savings time.
You got Shamrock Shakes out. I mean, this is supposed to be springtime.
Yeah, I agree. But that's just something to keep in mind as we move along here, that spring season. One of my favorite ones, I love covering the state softball tournament. And
love track.
The track tournament and stuff like that. So let's hopefully we get the underway.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I know. Just when? They'll start playing games in late April or May.
Well, good thing for track, they got the indoors.
They do, yeah.
And that takes you into April, but I don't know how these fields, not only do you have to melt the snow, but then these fields are going to be saturated for a while too. That's not going to be, let's just say I'm guessing there's going to be some postponements and then it's going to be an all-out sprint. There's going to be playing a whole bunch of doubleheaders for the baseball and softball games just to get their games in so that you can get to the tournament. But I Ricardo, I don't think you're going to see, I bet you it's a month before these teams can get out there and start playing games.
I think it might be one of those. We've had those in years past, too.
A few years ago, we had a foot plus in April.
Yes. Let's not have that again.
No.
I don't want to do anything like that. Hey, let's finish up with the Packers and the Rodgers talk. I know you guys are itching to comment.
I think you are.
That. I'm not at all. I could care less. I think I'm more concerned about my Bears, but... But this has gotten to be the drama, the soap opera, and it's supposed to be ending, right? Jets are looking at signing a bunch of ex-Packers, and
well,
am I right?
Check this out. I saved this tweet from
now. Let's reference that. By the way, it's 1:30 basically on a Tuesday, so
we don't know yet.
We don't know anything yet. Tuesday on what's the date today? The 12th?
The 14th?
The 14th. So okay, March 14th, 1:30. As Brett is talking now, go.
Diana Rossini. Very well connected, right, from ESPN. She sent out a tweet about an hour ago, 12:35. And she says, Aaron Rodgers has provided the New York Jets with a wish list of free agents he would like them to target and acquire.
This guy is so high maintenance.
Sources, that list includes, get this, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Mercedes Lewis, and Odell Beckham Jr. I have Ricardo right now rolling his eyes like most of Titletown, I think.
I agree with you guys on this. Packer fans, I feel your pain. This guy has just gone above and beyond what a diva is.
Now suddenly he's the GM of the New York Jets, and they're going to accommodate this?
Yeah, well, he's like LeBron James.
Listen,
what
about OBJ? Now, he's had two blown out his knee twice, right? Mm-hmm. Is it the same knee or different knees? I can't remember. I guess I'd have to look that up, but... He's not getting any younger, and he's coming off of some serious knee injuries. Mercedes Lewis, how old is this guy? I mean, I can look it up, but...
He's 40, right? He's got to be high in the 30s. Yeah, he's got to be,
I would think.
You know, Randall Cobb will turn 33 this season, oft injured now, right? When he's on the field, he can still produce, but can he stay on the field? And then Alan Lazard, who is a very good block. Yeah, Mercedes Lewis is 38. He will turn 39 in May, so he'll be 39 years old. Still,
he can still play. I'm not. We're just laughing at the eighth. The man can still block.
Right, Alan Lazard, very good blocking wide receiver. Our former co-host on Clubhouse Live. We love the Lizard King, but this is ridiculous. I think at this point, if I'm the New York Jets, are you that desperate to get Aaron Rodgers because he's Aaron Rodgers? Who will turn 40 at the end of this? It's not like he's a 34-year-old Aaron Rodgers. He's 39 going on 40.
They might be just putting all chips in. And look, I like the Jets a lot more than you do. I think that defense is championship ready. I think the offense, if you add a quarterback who's just consistent, because they've had inconsistency over the last year or two, especially with the young kid they have, Zach Wilson, I don't think he's a bust, but a lot of Jets fans think he's a bust. And then they have the White, right? Mike White, was that the guy who came in and played quarterback for them
for a while? But didn't he sign somewhere?
Yeah, right, exactly. So I think they need – having Rodgers be the final piece, if I'm doing that in quotation marks, I think this is their best chance to win a Super Bowl title. To me, it looks like they're putting all the poker chips in.
They're not going to win a Super Bowl.
Well, I'm telling you that right now.
They're
in the tough AFC. I think they'll compete – they'll be there in the top five for playoff seeds, in my opinion, if they get Rodgers. I think the offense will improve. They got a great running back, right, coming off a knee injury. We know that. But they have Garrett Wilson. They got some guys, Brett. And then if you add They have a good offensive line. You add a few pieces here, namely Rodgers, I think they can be a team that competes, Brett.
They're not going to win the Super Bowl. No. Okay. And you got to think that Brian Gutekunst and his front office brethren are watching this and kind of rolling their eyes right now.
They got to be bemused.
They got to be saying, welcome to our world, New York.
Yes.
You know, we tried to appease this guy and give him everything they want. And then you got people kind of like defending that or, saying, well, I think it's a great win for the Jets and it's going to be kind of a big loss for the Packers.
I don't think it's a big loss for the Packers.
I don't either because what are the Packers supposed to? Again, he's not 34-year-old Aaron Rodgers who still has 5 years left in him. He's at the tail end of his career hitting 40. How many quarterbacks thrive when they're in their 40s?
One.
And that's Tom Brady, right?
Yep.
He's the exception to the rule. I was reading an article about, I forget where it was now, but talking about like what Philip Rivers and Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger and these guys, when they hit a certain age, upper 30s, it tailed off.
Yeah, and you know Rodgers' game is a lot of it's based on mobility.
Yeah, and that wasn't there as much last year. And I know he had the thumb issue, but that thumb doesn't affect the way he can move around in the pocket and get out.
I think Warren Moon was pretty good in his late 30s, maybe. I think he actually had a pretty good year, like 40 or 41. I have to look that up.
And then
it's rare. It's like two out of hundreds of quarterbacks that have gone through.
And then as people have rightly said, because the argument was, he's a four-time NFL MVP. Well, the four-time NFL MVP hasn't guided the Packers to a Super Bowl in 12 years. It's been 2010. And now they've had opportunities and they've won games. Listen, he's had an amazing career, and he's a legend. He'll like Mark Murphy said when he was breaking news on the WIA girls basketball telecast of all places. His name will be on the Lambeau Field wall. His number will be retired. He will be one of the greats of all time. Having said that, you can still have this feeling of, it's time to move on. We've hit, he's not going to be here forever. So what are the Packers supposed to do? Just kind of ride it out?
Yeah.
Because, he's got to retire a Packer. As Mark Murphy rightly said, all these players, Joe Montana went to the Chiefs. Yep. Johnny Unitas went to the Chargers. Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers. Namath went to the Rams, right? Yeah. I'm missing some. Peyton Manning went to the Broncos.
Right.
Philip Rivers went to the Colts.
Yeah.
So great players. Where did Jerry Rice? He went to the Raiders.
And the Seahawks 1 year, I think, too.
It just happens, right? It's just typically very rare for an athlete to play their whole career, be like a Dan Marino, for instance, or a John Elway. That's not the norm. Most of these guys, if they got a year or two left, Brett Favre obviously goes to the Jets. They usually play somewhere else to kind of ride out their career. So what are the Packers supposed to do? Just ride this out and not get anything? Especially when you have a 24-year-old in Jordan Love who you see reports that he took big strides, right? And maybe look into now's the time to see what he can do. He's got a big arm. He's got an NFL arm. There's nobody disputing that. So you're supposed to kind of tick him off and say, you know what? No, we're going to stick with Rodgers a couple more years. And then Love would say, well, you could trade me. I want out. I want to play. And then what do you do? I just don't I don't understand the thinking like, oh, the Packers are messing this up. No. What they messed up was giving Aaron Rodgers that ridiculous contract.
That was, they should have traded him last year.
And it seems like if you kind of read between the lines that the Packers gave him this big contract, probably thinking that he was going to kind of close out his career, but then you saw the lack of interest in the offseason, let's just put it that way, when he's got a whole brand new set of receivers. And where was he for OTAs?
That's true.
Nowhere to be seen. Patrick Mahomes had no problem working with his new set of receivers, right, in the offseason, kind of getting a chemistry going. And I think it sounds like, at least based on some reports, that the Packers front office were a little upset about that. Where's our quarterback here? We just gave you this big contract. So you have that, and then I think on the back end of that, I think then all of a sudden Jordan Love did take that huge step. All of a sudden it clicked. The light went on, and they're thinking, whoa, this guy, I think, doesn't necessarily have to be an MVP, right? Doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer, but you can still be pretty darn good and win some games.
You know, we got to give some love out. I mentioned Warren Moon. You want to let me tell you his stats? He did have good success after age 39 and when he was 40. 39, this was back in 1995. He had a year where he threw for almost 4,300 yards. He was 39, 33 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Okay. Now, that's back in the 90s when you can actually hit receivers and things down the field, not this lollipop stuff that they play now where you can't even touch them. And then at 41, another Pro Bowl year, for Seattle, he threw 25 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, 3,700 yards. So, but my point is, you are right. That he's the only one I can think of besides Brady.
Well, and Favre, the first year in Minnesota, he was really good.
Right. But then, that declined quickly, didn't
it? Super fast.
It was almost incredible to see him decline, go from that high to
really went out of the league. Went off the edge, yeah. No doubt about it.
So, to me, I think Rodgers has 1 year. I think it's a one-year thing. Maybe that's why the Jets are kind of putting everything into the one-year thing, and maybe let's try to get this. Let's see if we can ride off in the sunset with the championship.
What do you think the guys in the locker room are thinking right now as they're watching this thing?
Oh, no, they're excited. Did you see the receivers? They're all pumped. Sauce Gardner, you know, they're burning the cheese head or whatever. They want him there. See, players don't care. They just want to win the ring, right? So bring whoever we can. Rodgers is our best option. Let's bring him in here. You know those young players respect him, Brett, especially opposing players. So they're going to be all in on this. And I sense that from the Jets. Those young players, they want him in there because they know that's their best chance of getting a championship.
There was something, though, from Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets out there, that kind of indicated that maybe some of the Jets players were kind of getting a little miffed about how this is kind of all going right now.
Well, the drama stuff, I can see that.
Yeah, I think that was. I wish I could find the tweet. I'm trying to scroll right now, but can't find it. I don't want to waste anybody's time, but just kind of scroll through and look for it. It was kind of indicated that it was kind of, you know, come on, let's make a decision. Are you all in or are you not? What's going on? What's taking so long?
So you don't think he's going to win? I think he's going to attend first for a Super Bowl championship. Rosie, what do you think?
That he'll make it to a Super Bowl?
No, I'm just saying, will he contend for a Super Bowl? I think I think they'll make the divisional playoffs. I think they'll have a shot at actually winning because I love that defense. And if they can just get any competent quarterback play, they'll compete.
Yeah, that defense, I agree with you. That's Super Bowl ready. That defense is really good.
They shut down the Packers, remember, with Rodgers.
How long before Garrett Wilson learns the Aaron Rodgers offense, right? I mean, now they're going to have a brand new playbook.
That is true. They do have, what's his name? He was in Denver.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, and that's not an easy offense to learn right away. But, you know, Garrett Wilson is almost all pro. He was a rookie of the year, wasn't he?
How soon are Robert Saleh and Nathaniel Hackett and the brain trust there and the fans going to get tired of the let's chuck it 25, 30 yards downfield on 3rd-and-3?
I think Jets fans are a little more forgiving because they've had such bad quarterback play. Really, their best quarterback was Vinny Testaverde. You have to go way back to the 90s for that. I think Saleh is the guy you got to watch. You know, he's a defensive guy. If the quarterback is not doing what he's supposed to be doing, that could be some problematic issues coming up.
It doesn't look like he's a guy that's going to get pushed around too much either.
No offense to LaFleur, but you look at Saleh, you see right away alpha male. He ain't going to put up with no nonsense from my diva quarterback.
But Rodgers ain't going to back down either.
Yeah.
You know? So that's
going to make it for fun.
Could be an interesting dynamic.
They should be on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
But again, nobody can deny what a great career Rodgers has had, what a great run in Green Bay he's had. You thank number 12 for all the memories, the championship, the four MVPs, a lot of fun Sundays watching. Has helped us with Clubhouse Live. He was on our show 3 times.
Right.
But it's time. It's time to turn the page. You got another young quarterback that sounds like he's chomping at the bit, ready to go. And
as a Bears fan, I love it. I'm ready for the 7-10 seasons from the Packers now.
Well, you know, hey, Rodgers' first season in 2008, they were 6-10.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
But he looked good. I think he was like 28 TDs and 15 picks, and you thought, not bad. You know, so maybe Jordan Love can do that. It comes out like, hey, not bad. They're probably going to struggle a little bit this year just because of their salary cap situation, but then I think maybe it can, if they have some good drafts, I don't think that, hey, you got Aaron Jones is coming back, right? You got Keyshawn Nixon has re-signed. So,
it's just interesting that the Rodgers era is over and it's happening like this.
It's like 15 years ago. All of a sudden, you get a quarterback who's kind of dragging some things along. Is he going to come back? Is he not? And all of a sudden, here come the Jets, and we're going to trade you to the Jets. Now, Rodgers can really create some enemies if he forces his way out of the Jets next year and then goes signs with Minnesota.
Yes. Yes.
Could history really repeat itself?
And let's make sure he doesn't do any texting, right, Rosie?
Yes. Yes. No texting.
Yeah, no.
But what about your Bears?
Getting back to the, just real quick with the Warren Moon thing, didn't they say that he would have probably been the all-time passing yards leader if he didn't play in the Canadian Football League?
Yeah, he would have been close because he had a lot of yards. He threw one of the most prettiest deep balls you'll ever see, I'll tell you that. As for my Bears, they're rebuilding that roster. I love what they're doing.
Why not just pay Roquan Smith?
First off, Roquan Smith is a 3-4 linebacker. They play a 4-3.
Okay.
Yeah, so this Tremaine Edwards that they signed.
Didn't fit the scheme.
Is 6'5". He has the dimensions of it. I'm not saying he's Urlacher, but you want him dropping back into coverage and that using that 6'5 frame. And they got two pretty good linebackers and a second-round pick.
Sanborn and Edwards now?
Well, they got Edwards and they got, the former Badger.
Two Badgers.
And Tremaine. And Edwards and I'm getting these names mixed up.
It's T.J. Edwards.
T.J. Edwards, yep. And then Tremaine, the Bills linebacker. Yeah. I'm spacing out here, but the one they signed for big money. They got him, both those guys. The second round pick they traded Roquan Smith for, which they haven't picked yet, for basically the same amount of money. I think that's a win. You get two starters. You get a second round pick that's going to be an offensive lineman or something. And that's a good trade. For a guy who, by the way, was starting to become a headache because he doesn't have an agent, kind of like Lamar Jackson, and that's why they couldn't come to a deal.
6-11 for the Bears coming up.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that. They get an early first round pick. That Carolina Panthers pick will be bad because they're starting a rookie quarterback. Oh. They'll be might be picking two picks in the top 10 next year.
Is Justin Fields the top dog quarterback in the North now?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, but the Lions might be the top dog team in the North because look at how the Vikings are.
What kind of world are we?
Right,
what kind of world are we living in? Up is down. You know, black is white. What's going on here?
It's
the Lions,
like the George Costanza opposite right now. But Lions have to be the favorite, and then you got the Bears, Packers, and Vikings that could be.
Vikings are going down in a hurry.
Oh my goodness, they are losing, dismantling
dropping
that team.
Plays, dropping they, players. Yeah,
trading. Are they going to trade Dalvin Cook? Was that the?
I heard that rumor, and then I just saw right now on Twitter. The Waller tight end from...
Yeah, he's to the Giants.
Yeah, to the Giants now. It's like, what the heck? This is great. This is fun. I love the NFL.
I think he's a tad overrated myself, but whatever.
Waller, you mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, the Packers wanted him.
I know, and I was kind of looking at his stats thinking, he hasn't done anything that great.
It kills you the Bears got DJ Moore, didn't it? Because the Packers wanted to trade a first-round pick this year for him, and Carolina said no.
Maybe the Jets will trade Garrett Wilson to Green Bay because the Packers are trading Rodgers, huh?
Boy, that'd be a heck of a receiving
core. Could you imagine that?
That'd be a heck of a receiving core then that they got there.
Could you imagine that, especially if
after he wanted him there, we're trading you.
It's like, we're giving you a four-time MVP and you're dictating the roster. No, you're going to give us a little compensation in return here.
Yeah, probably won't happen.
No, probably won't. But
That wraps up our R&B show. Let's hopefully do another one here before the spring season gets going in earnest, because I know we want to maybe talk about the updated stuff that's going on in the NFL. It'll be fun. But for everyone, check us out again. Hey, subscribe. You can do that on Apple, any place where you find your podcast, Apple, Stitcher, Google Play, anything like that. Just give us a follow. Leave a comment, too, if you want. Just be nice if it's constructive criticism. But until then, everyone, have a great, great rest of the week, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the R&B Show.